Senator Brown's official biography lists a number of issues that he's passionate about. Social justice, economic justice, fair trade, veterans, American manufacturing, American farmers. Today, Ohio's senior senator, serving since 2006, returns to Town Hall, Ohio to talk with Farm Bureau Executive Vice President Adam Sharp about these issues and others, including Lake Erie, the Farm Bill, and his time considering running for President of the United States. Senator Sherrod Brown with us today on Town Hall, Ohio.
This is Town Hall, Ohio, home to interesting people, engaging issues, and enlightening stories. Town Hall, Ohio is a production of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, working together for Ohio farmers to advance agriculture and strengthen our communities, and is supported by Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Now, here's Town Hall, Ohio host Joe Corneli.
Sherrod Brown has served in the Ohio House as Ohio's Secretary of State, as a member of the U.S. House, and now as a United States Senator. He is Ohio's first senator in some 50 years to serve on the Senate Ag Committee, and he is always willing to spend time with Town Hall, Ohio listeners and members of the Ohio Farm Bureau. So, Senator, welcome back to Town Hall, Ohio. Glad to have you
good,
back
good
in the studio.
Good to be back in the studio at Farm Bureau with Adam and you, and thanks, Joe.
Yeah, that's pretty fun, Adam, having the senator in.
I appreciate having the senator here and joining us again.
So about this time, it was early on in 2019, I called Matt and some of your folks and said, we'd like to get the senator in. And he said, well, we'll do that. And then the next thing I know, you're in Iowa and you're in the Carolinas. And you had a kind of an exciting start to 2019 and kind of feeling out the waters for running for the presidency. Talk a little bit about that, Senator. Yeah. What went into thinking about it and then opting to not?
I had never thought about you. I mean, I've known you for I don't know how many years.
I'm old.
But I never had a great desire to run for president. You'd never heard me mention it. This November, after the election, after winning a state as tough as Ohio for a Democrat, some people started talking to me, and we decided to embark on what we called our Dignity of Work tour into each of the four early primary states. And to me, I don't think Republicans or Democrats talk to working families enough. And when I say working families, it's whether you punch a clock or whether you swipe a badge, whether you're taking care of aging parents or raising children, whether you work in a salary, whether you're farming, whether you're working in a hospital, whether you have a small business. I don't think government pays enough attention to workers' views that way and small businesses' views. And I spent parts of weekends, four weekends in those four states. In the end, I just didn't. I think our message was heard. I hear a number of candidates on both parties actually increasingly using the term dignity of work. I think that's. I think we've helped change the narrative, and I want to keep doing that in this campaign as a non-candidate. In the end, most of my colleagues running for president have planned to do this for 1 year, 5 years, 10 years. Some of them ran for the Senate in order to run for president, and I just didn't have that sort of unbridled desire to be president of the United States. And you simply can't run a year and a half campaign and go through what you go through if you don't really want it. So in the end, it was not a hard decision in that way, but it was a joy to see the country from sort of that perspective. And those four states are fairly representative. They don't have big urban areas like Ohio, but they're pretty representative of the country taken together, the four states.
So without you in there, we're down to,
21 candidates.
21 candidates now.
And that's as of yesterday.
So. Yeah. So what's the process for the Democratic Party going to look like here? I mean, 21's a large number to whittle it down from. So how do you see this shaping
up? Well, Republicans 4 years ago had 17. And it's whittled down. There's not much whittling during the odd numbered year, 2015 for them, 2019 for Democrats. A couple may drop out because they're not raising any money, but whether you raise money or not, you can get free media, you can travel the country, you can speak to generally smaller groups. So I don't know if anybody drops this year, but once the real voting starts in the caucuses, and as you saw when Trump was the nominee for the Republicans, the 17 dropped to 12 to 10 to 8, and then in the end, it was just Ohio's governor, John Kasich. It was Rubio, John Kasich, and Trump, and then Kasich just didn't have the delegates or the money. And in the end, money drives a big part of it, but there's so much out there now in terms of grassroots fundraising and grassroots efforts that I assume that field won't shrink appreciably till February, and then it'll shrink in smaller numbers until there are two or three.
That's something, Senator, that you did so well, and you've done it so well in Ohio since you first ran for Senate here in the state. And something that I think the other Democrat candidates can learn something from you, is the connection you made around the state by going out and sitting down with the very people you just mentioned a few minutes ago, whether it was small businesses, families, rural Ohio, farmers, listening in small groups, taking pieces of that input and then acting on it. And that's something that you've done very well. And I was very interested when you started having these other meetings around the country with voters to talk about those things, because that's something where I do believe that other Democratic candidates are going to have to, for Ohio in particular, for some of these Midwestern states, some of these swing states, that seems a great place of connection that you have done. You've done that very well. And I'm not sure that some of the others have learned that yet.
Well,
not coming from these particular states.
I think the practice is you actually sit and listen. And
that's right.
It's hard to do that in campaigns. And yes. The way I really learned to do this was based really more than a decade ago when we started working on the first farm bill that I helped write in my first days on the Ag Committee. And John McCracken, who's in the studio with me, lives in Columbus, has worked on our ag issues for my entire 12 and a half years in the Senate. And we will sit around. I remember one, we went to the Hirsch Farm and near right. Chillicothe, another yeah. from Bainbridge, I think. But anyway, yeah. Ross County. And then went to grain farmers in Northwest Ohio and talked about what do we do about runoff and what do we do about Lake Erie issues. And then went to see some dairy farmers in Southeast and Eastern and Northeast Ohio. And you sit around a table with a dozen people, whether it's farmers or veterans or workers or teachers, you get a perspective that you don't necessarily get from making a speech or reading a briefing. So we often, one of the things I'm proudest of is every farm bill, the one we just completed where we got 87 votes more than any farm bill's ever gotten in my memory. Obviously, strong bipartisan votes to 5 years earlier and 5 years before that. Each time we had some major provisions in the bill that helped us, that we learned from these roundtables. Right. So in presidential races, I when I went to these four states, I probably did more listening than the average candidate because I really wanted to sort of see from the ground up. You can't do a whole campaign sitting around and listening to 12 people. You got to speak to millions overall. But I think that's useful for us. I think it would have been useful that I don't think President Trump's ever sat in groups like that and listened. I'm not sure that Joe Biden has either. I think it's important that the candidates just start to absorb what's going on in our country better.
Yeah, that's a good point.
That's a good assessment. Thanks.
You mentioned the Farm Bill, Senator. As you look back on it, we could spend the whole hour talking about that, but pick maybe one or two of the top pieces that applied both to farmers and to consumers that you feel was good policy for America within the Farm Bill.
Yeah, thank you. And I it's hard to narrow it to one or two. I first start with the Farm Bill and understanding, the percentage of Ohioans that are actually farmers is small and shrinking. Even the percentage of Ohioans that work on or near a farm in agriculture is small. But I also recognize that one in eight jobs in Ohio is connected to food and agriculture. But the way that I talk about the Farm Bill, especially in non-farm groups, because that's where most of the state is you talk about it as a nutrition bill, a family farmer bill, an economic development bill, a rural development bill, an environmental bill to keep Lake Erie clean and keep our lands and waters clean. So you talk about it in those terms and people begin to understand it's very important for nutrition. We've put a lot of effort into feeding programs in schools, and those schools are in rural areas just as much as they're in urban areas. We've talked a lot about the program, the ARC program we started working with Senator Thune. Originally it started back with Senator Lugar, Republican from Indiana. We've talked to everything from what specific things we need to do with dairy, because we know commodity prices generally and milk prices have been stagnant or worse in the last 5 years. I mean, since the last Farm Bill, commodity prices have are way down from what they were when we did the Farm Bill I guess, 6-7 years ago. Commodity prices were in, the farmers were doing really well. Now they're not. That's why we do it every 5 years. So the Farm Bill, unlike most things we do in Congress, they're intrinsically bipartisan, but they're also we update them to address farm issues day by day and week by week and month by month. And Adam's input Adam and the Farm Bureau, when I speak every year to the Farm Bureau in Washington, I get good perspective on sort of what needs to be changed every year we do this.
Yeah, our listeners should know that obviously as a senator, you're pretty darn busy, but every time we're in D.C., you make time to be there, and you come in to be on Town Hall, Ohio. It doesn't go unnoticed, Senator. It's appreciated. So another big issue for farmers and all rural Ohioans in the coming year or years, we've got a lot of infrastructure problems, whether it's roads and bridges or a lack of broadband. Do we hold out some hope that there might be some type of infrastructure legislation that could be coming in the short
term?
Well,
I think only if groups like the Farm Bureau really put the heat on members of Congress and the state legislature. I mean, the state legislature, I remember back during the fracking issue, when fracking was front and center 5-6 years ago, when Ohio was starting to be a major center for it. And I remember some people in the legislature wanted to put a wellhead tax on fracking, even lower. It was, even the proposal was lower than it would have been, than it was in Texas, which is an oil and gas state. And those dollars would have gone for infrastructure in those communities, because we know while fracking can be good economics for a local community, it also needs a lot of infrastructure around it, particularly when the fracking is done, but even at the time as the big trucks come in and all that. We missed an opportunity then. I think the state continues to miss opportunities for investing in infrastructure. President Trump's promised first $1 trillion, then $1.5 trillion, now $2 trillion for infrastructure. There's no bill coming out of the White House. I think I've part of a writing a bill that had for $1 trillion infrastructure over 10 years. And we know those needs. We know what's happened with water and sewer. We know bridges, highways, roads. We know rural broadband, all those things, mass transit, all those things are part of public infrastructure. And I think it only happens if groups like the Farm Bureau really turn the heat up on Congress and say, do it, and tell the president, here's what we want. You've got to do it in the next year. I don't see it unless there's a lot more pressure on my colleagues.
Well, we are kind of good at that, Adam, of making our wishes known in the nation's capital.
Well, I guess we do that from time to time. And, appreciate you mentioning a couple of those things. And, we do have some activity that are happening here in the state, which we're glad to see happening in the state house, right? But on the federal side, right, there's still a grand debate going on, right, about infrastructure. But rural broadband, you mentioned, and that's the one I would lift up and say, that's obviously critical to the state of Ohio. When you can move, not even an hour outside of the city of Columbus, mm-hmm. and you're struggling,
especially
on service.
If you go 33, you go that way.
And you
right?
go any further, right. then you're really struggling. But it is amazing how much we still struggle with that type of service, even in this state.
I remember talking to a young woman, high school kid, maybe 9th grade, 10th grade, and she said that she lives in a valley, and when she studies, she goes to her grandmother's house up on top of a hill. I think she lived in Jackson County, but it was somewhere in sort of southeast of Columbus, like Adam said. And that's just insane that we, Northwest Ohio is not as big a problem because it's flatter and a little wealthier. But Southeast Ohio, especially rural broadband, is really important to us.
Senator Sherrod Brown, our guest this week on Town Hall Ohio, along with Adam Sharp of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. Great to have the senator in with us. Glad to have you listening. We'll be back with more after this.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
$500 in bonus cash on eligible Ford vehicles. $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. All it takes is to be or become a member of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Bonus cash applies to purchases and leases. For all the program requirements and details, visit ofbf.org. Big bonus cash on new Fords and Lincolns exclusively for Ohio Farm Bureau members. Visit ofbf.org.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
Hi, this is John Merrihew, Director of Member Services for the Ohio Farm Bureau. Case IH is a proud supporter of the Ohio Farm Bureau. Working to build strong, prosperous agricultural communities, the Ohio Farm Bureau protects the future of your farm and your neighbor's farms all year long. And thanks to this strong partnership, Ohio Farm Bureau members receive a discount up to $500 on qualifying Case IH equipment. Choose from Case IH Farm All Series tractors, including Compact, Utility, and 100A Series, and Maxim Series tractors as well. Plus, save on hay and forage equipment like self-propelled windrowers, mower conditioners, and large square round balers. This discount may be used with other promotions, rebates, or offers. And it's available for every qualifying Case IH tractor and piece of equipment you purchase. Join Ohio Farm Bureau today to pocket up to $500 in savings. Get your discount by visiting ofbf.org.
Who's gonna work for the working man? Work for the working man. Get your hands in the dirt. Who's gonna work on the curse? Brother, I'll be damned if I don't raise a hand. Who's gonna work, work, work for the working man? Working.
Senator Sherrod Brown, our guest this week on Town Hall, Ohio. Adam Sharp with the Ohio Farm Bureau in the studio with us as well. Real quick, just a moment or two. I know that you've been paying attention to ways we can help other parts of Eastern Ohio where the coal industry used to dominate. It's starting to recede somewhat. Are there plans in the works in Washington to think about helping in coal country somewhat?
Yeah, thank you for that question. We're working on the Reclaim Act. I'm teaming up with the Republican and Democrat from West Virginia on legislation. There are several billion, I think $3 billion in the Reclamation Fund money that in the Abandoned Mine Fund, I guess it's called technically, that money's sitting there and not being used. And we want to take some amount of that and use it to invest in rural Ohio. And invest means everything from roads to broadband in ways that into water and sewer to the kinds of things that rural communities need, and rural communities especially as poor as what's happened in Appalachia. And, you know, there aren't many people working in the mines now, but energy is still an important issue there. And we as a state, I think we owe that to those. One of the things that always struck me when I speak to mine workers is how many veterans there are that worked in the mines. And, you know, they, during World War II, during Korea, during Vietnam, left the mines, went out, you know, and younger people in cave mines went out, served their country, came back. And we owe it to these communities for because of what they've earned, but also because it's part of our country and we don't do well if everybody doesn't have opportunities. And too many people in those regions, so many young people leave because they don't see the economic opportunities. And we've got to figure that out better than we have.
Adam, we hear this a lot. People might not picture a lot of Farm Bureau members in Eastern Ohio. It couldn't be further from the truth. And they talk to us as much about these economic development and energy issues as they do about the Farm Bill.
Absolutely, right? You know, when you go across to Southern and Eastern Ohio, whether you're talking about forest land management, water quality issues, jobs, right, infrastructure across the southern part of the state, moving products in and out of that region is a big deal. So that's right. Those rural infrastructure, rural economic issues are a big deal to our folks. And many of them who farm and then part-time farm, right? And then also work a separate job.
A lot of dairy farms.
A lot of dairy farms. And they work a lot of those separate jobs off the farm as well. So very interested in those issues.
Wait, what's really struck me, what Adam said, is how many people now, I mean, I know, understand that number is increasing compared to 50 years ago, but how many people work off the farms, at least the spouse does, for insurance, for a steady income, to try to compensate when commodity prices are low, all the reasons that people do. But they've got to get to work, and they've got to have those economic opportunities. And opportunities to work off the farm are shrinking instead of expanding in too many cases.
Yeah. I've noticed that in several opportunities you've had in front of the public recently, you've talked about, I don't know if pension crisis is the right term, but you have some concerns over the viability of protecting pensions and workers from Ohio and across the nation. What do we need to be paying attention to there?
Understand that, you know, increasingly young people really under about 50 now, so it's way more than just young people, don't have a retired, don't have a defined pension benefit, a predictable income stream. The average, you know, a lot of people don't have, a number of people have a 401k, but many, many people don't have any pensions at all. And there's a group, about 60,000, a lot of mine workers, a lot of truck drivers, who through the collective bargaining process were due a pension for mine workers at $600 or $700 a month. For truck drivers, it might be a couple times, two or three times that. They at the bargaining table in collective bargaining put money aside in their wages today, saying we'll give up wages if management and labor together put money aside for their pensions. Because of the bad economy at the end of the Bush years, and because of some Wall Street shenanigans, those pensions are not there the way they were promised. I'm working with Senator Portman on this. He and I are sort of the leads on figuring out how to do this so that these cuts aren't so severe, and these pensioners can be made as close to whole as possible. It's not a government bailout. We've got to do it in a way that's not. And I would add, too, and again, partly from what Adam was saying in these communities and what you were saying, too, Joe, is that if it's a community with a lot of pensioners and those pensions are cut by half, it affects the economic vitality of that community. If it's, you know, with truck drivers, it may be spread all over the place, but with mine workers, there are a lot of them in some concentrated small counties, and it will matter for the economic vitality of the region as a whole.
We got about a minute left before we have to go to break. Give us a couple of quick thoughts on what's going on in the world of student loan debt and what government might or should consider.
Yeah, first of all, we ought to student loan debt ought to be able to be, people ought to be able to renegotiate their loan. And if they're in the, they're in a high interest plan, should be able to renegotiate. And the banks generally don't do that. And they should have to do that if students can find a lower interest rate to buy off their loan, to pay off their loan and negotiate lower. It's also the state government's just is not investing in higher ed the way that it did. I mean, it's 30, 40 years ago, most of the tuition was public dollars at these schools, and students could go to Ohio State, go to OU, go to Central State, whatever, and get a decent education without huge student loans. And now, student loans, the people graduate with such huge student loans, they can't buy a farm, they can't start a business, they can't buy a house, they may not marry right away because they know the cost of childcare is going to be so high. So this doesn't serve our state and our country to have this student loan, huge $1 trillion debt that students face all over the country.
We'll have more with Senator Sherrod Brown right after this. We are back on Town Hall, Ohio, with Senator Sherrod Brown, Adam Sharp of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. Adam, keeps me busy, keeps you busy, keeps farmers busy. talking about water quality these days, and there's a lot that happens at the federal level that plays a role in what's going on there.
Yeah, last year I appreciate the invitation from Senator Brown to come out to Washington, D.C. to share a little bit about what we've been doing here in Ohio with Farm Bill dollars that come through NRCS and through other mechanisms that are helpful to water quality. And a terrific hearing from a number of folks from around the country. But we were able to share some of the things that we've done here that are innovative, in particular with our Demonstration Farms Network that we partner Farm Bureau with NRCS to set up in the middle of the basin up there that highlights a number of practices that farmers can take and get some insight on for the economic viability of implementing those practices that on their farms that will help water quality. So appreciate your support for the Farm Bill for NRCS in particular. They're one of our terrific partners on the ground here in the state that we have to rely on to help with to make sure that we're doing everything we can on water quality and also to move out those cost share dollars into those communities to help on water quality. So a big deal for us here in Ohio. It's one of the things that we've been focusing on now for several years and will obviously continue for a number of years to come.
And it's important, and thanks, Adam, for that. The Farm Bill had major provisions on dealing with water quality. Everything from filter strips, which we've now done for years along creeks, that farmers get compensated for not planting out to the edge of the creek, to the Conservation Resource Program, to the Conservation Reserve Program, to what we do with planting ground cover, to all the with barley and other things, and it's important that farmers enroll in these programs. I did a roundtable, and I believe it was Wood County back maybe a year and a half ago, and John McCracken in my office has done a number of them, and all over the state have been really illuminating for me on how we do this to make sure that we can bipartisanly figure out every kind of way to keep our waterways clean. Senator Portman and I have teamed up on, there have been proposed cuts from the Trump administration, huge cuts to the Great Lakes Restoration Initiative. It's been something that's been around for more than a decade. We know, if you're old enough to remember this, you know what Lake Erie looked like in the 1950s, 60s, into the 70s. We did a massive federal, state, local community cleanup of the lakes. We have to maintain that cleanliness, if you will, of the lake, the quality, and understanding that Lake Erie in Toledo is only 30 feet deep, contrasted with Lake Superior is 600 feet deep on the average, and Lake Erie is so much more vulnerable because there's more farmland, there are more people, it's a shallower lake than the other Great Lakes. So it really is incumbent upon us, and that's why Senator Portman and I bipartisanly teamed up to make sure the president's cuts to the Great Lakes Fund weren't going to happen. It's about as important to it's important economically to our state. People fish, there's recreational boating, there's drinking water, there's agriculture, there's all that where we depend on our Great Lake, and it we want to continue to keep it in the quality we've been able to build it up to.
Senator Sherrod Brown, our guest, I probably shouldn't start this because we've only got a minute or two before the break, but I'll cut you off if that's all right. The day we recorded this was day one of round two of increased tariffs on Chinese imports. Agricultural prices being hit hard. Give us your thoughts on where we stand in negotiating with the Chinese. Are we doing things the way you think will be effective?
I'm concerned with how it's playing out. I've seen what's happened with soybean prices. I've seen what's happened to foreign markets. I know that it takes years to build up these foreign markets for soybeans and corn especially, but really anything, wheat, anything. And I'm very concerned that I appreciate the president's wanting to put a few billion dollars in to help farmers, but if they're losing these markets and it's depressing prices, both things seem to be happening. We have a longer-term problem. I look at tariffs as they are a temporary tool for improving a long-term policy. But the president got off to a bad start on this because he initially aimed the tariffs at Canada and Western Europe, who are our allies, instead of coalescing with them and initially aiming the tariffs at China. I agree that China's a problem. I agree that they cheat. I agree that they subsidize all kinds of economic, all kinds of manufactured products. But I also think that if the president doesn't figure this out in the next few weeks, the damage to rural America and to much of industrial America is pretty significant. And I as I said, I support the idea of tariffs if done right, if they're seen as a temporary tool to enact a long-term policy. But I'm very concerned about this next round, as it seems to be getting worse and worse with President Xi and President Trump going back at each other in an escalating trade war, which the president seems to think we're winning, and I don't know many farmers who think we are.
Our very special guest this week in the studio, Ohio's senior senator, Sherrod Brown. Adam Sharp also with us. Adam is the exec for the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation, and we'll be hearing more from the senator and Adam when we continue in a moment. Just a quick reminder, we've been really fortunate to have some top-line guests in the studio with us recently. If there's ever a weekend broadcast that you've missed, the show is available online. You can visit townhallohio.org, or you can go to iTunes and their podcast section and look up Town Hall Ohio.
To some, that sound means the day is ruined. To a farmer, it's the sound of life sustained. Every farmer understands the value of clean water. Ohio Farm Bureau understands it too. So on behalf of our members, we've invested millions of dollars through research and action to help improve clean water for all of us. To learn more on how you can join our efforts, visit farmersforwater.org today.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
We believe in food.
Grown in the fields of Ohio.
In clean air and water.
And in preserving farmland forever.
We believe in opportunities for the next generation.
For nearly 100 years,
Ohio Farm Bureau has been bringing people together.
Join us in the journey.
Together.
Together.
Together with farmers.
Visit togetherwithfarmers.org.
Have you heard about the Ohio Farm Bureau Energy Program? Eligible members are saving an average of 15% on their electric and natural gas bills. The program works through a network of suppliers to secure cost-saving pricing in competitive electric and natural gas regions. We've heard from members who've saved hundreds of dollars annually on their energy costs. Getting started is easy. Simply call the Energy Program customer service line, 800-830-3501, and our representative will assist you from there, 800-830-3501. You can also visit ofbf.org/savings to learn more.
Stand up for what you believe. Raise your voice, let freedom ring. Truth and justice on your side is a mighty thing. So stand up for what's right and wrong. Shout it out when you sing along. And you will find you're not.
We're back with Senator Sherrod Brown, Adam Sharp of the Ohio Farm Bureau in the studio with us. And a key issue that's on the minds of farmers, all Americans, is the proper way to balance national security with the needed immigrant labor to help America do business and help Adam, our farmers, farm. Give us your thoughts on where we are on the immigration front, Senator, and what you'd like to see changed or different in the way we're handling things.
Well, I'm concerned that we're not. That Congress isn't doing anything, in large part because when we had a bipartisan bill, the president's been pretty critical of doing anything with what we do with immigration. I think the president looks at immigration as his best political issue in 2020. A lot of that is about name calling. A lot of that is about dividing people. I talk to farmers all the time. I talk to a lot of others that believe that we should have for immigrants, we should have a path to citizenship. We make them earn it. It's not automatic. It's not given away like candy. But if we had a path to citizenship and these immigrants had to, that had come to this country, were paying their dues, as so many do now, they work hard. I mean, anybody listening in rural Ohio that's seen immigrant labor, they know how hard they work. They know they don't get paid a lot. They know they're sending some of their money back home to Mexico or Guatemala. And I think if the name calling would stop, we could sit down and write a bipartisan bill that would work for workers. It would work for American workers who were born here. It would work for those immigrants, and it would work for farmers, and it would work for industry too. But we've got to have a focus on it and stop the name calling.
Adam, I don't know that there's a lot of people that recognize just how important to the ability to feed ourselves and export food immigrant labor is for American agriculture.
Yeah, right here in Ohio, fruit and vegetable production, dairy production for sure, horticulture, so many different areas here in our state that we do rely on a workforce that often doesn't come from the United States. So we got to have both border security, but we also have to have a good guest worker program.
Besides manpower, we use a lot of technology in agriculture, as you well know, Senator. And I know that you are taking up a little bit of oversight, if you would, of what's going on in this whole digital world and the data collection that goes on and maintaining our privacy. What are you watching there?
Yeah, you can live in the middle of the biggest city in the state, or you can live in the most remote farm area where you don't see any neighbors for hundreds and hundreds of yards or several miles, and you know how important privacy is to you on in social media and online. I'm concerned when a company like Equifax makes a mistake, apparently made a mistake, 145 million Americans, 5 million Ohioans had their data breached, and there is no accountability and no even very little contrition from Equifax. Their stock price is back up. Did they ever even do anything to fix it? And we've got to, both parties understand that this kind of data, these kinds of data breaches are going to happen more and more unless we have some rules about it. And I'm hopeful Senator Crapo, the chairman of the Banking Committee, where I'm the senior Democrat, can come to some agreement to protect the American public from, I mean, when your data is taken from you without your permission and it's made, and your data makes profit for other people, something's wrong there. And that's the story of Equifax and the story of a lot of these companies that manipulate and manage this data to their benefit, but not thinking much about the personal side of whose data, who the data really belongs to.
We got time for one real quick question. Is Baker Mayfield the real deal?
Well, with the way the Indians are playing, people are talking about the Browns a lot, but I'm still baseball season, and it's May. So do we have to talk about football this early?
Well, see, I don't follow baseball as much as I should.
Maybe Baker Mayfield could pitch. It wouldn't hurt at this
point. That would
point.
Be helpful.
Yeah. Maybe he can hit, maybe he could pitch.
So with you being from the closer to the Cleveland area and Senator Portman being from closer to the Cincinnati area, do you guys like have a rivalry when the Browns and Bengals are at it at all?
The Browns
politicians,
have been,
you probably have to root for
them. No, I root for the Browns and the Indians and the Cavs. I don't hate the Reds or the Cavs, whatever, the Bengals, but I don't, you know, but and there, someday we'll see an I-71 World Series, and maybe, I guess not, can't be a Super Bowl, I guess, with the two teams because they're in the same league, but maybe. But we rarely have had both teams in either sport really good in the same year, so someday.
Thank you for making time for
Glad
us
to
today.
Do it. Thanks, Joe.
Thanks, Adam.
Senator Sherrod Brown, our guest on Town Hall, Ohio, making his, I believe, sixth or seventh appearance on the show, which would be a record in case you're interested in those kinds of things. But very appreciative of the senator taking time to be with all of us today. We still have a few minutes of the show left, and while the senator had to depart for a meeting, we'll be hearing in a few moments from two of my friends from the office here, Yvonne Lasisco and Jack Irvin of our public policy department. We'll be talking a little bit about the power of Farm Bureau in Washington and how the organization gets things done.
For farmers and small business owners looking for quality, affordable health care for themselves and employees, the Ohio Farm Bureau Health Benefits Plan may be your solution. The plan is available for employers with fewer than 100 employees and sole proprietors who have employees, are headquartered in Ohio, and operate within the farm-to-fork sector. To learn more about qualifications and plan details, visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org. A quality, affordable health care option. Visit ofbhealthbenefitsplan.org.
Ohio Farm Bureau is proud to announce its new partnership with the Ford Motor Company, and it's good news for Farm Bureau members. Members get $500 in bonus cash on eligible new Ford cars and trucks, or $750 in bonus cash on eligible Lincoln vehicles. Not a member? Well, join now, and in 30 days, you're eligible. For complete information on program details, visit ofbf.org.
With over 300,000 horses in Ohio, the economic impact of the equine industry in the state is valued at $1.4 billion. Much of that value comes from standardbred horse owners, breeders, trainers, and drivers who participate in the sport of harness racing in the Buckeye State, all supported by the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association. Since 1953, the mission of the OHHA is to preserve, protect, promote, and serve the entire standardbred industry in Ohio and beyond. And the relationship between OHHA members and Ohio agriculture is undeniable. Farmers provide feed, bedding, and stables for the horses, and in turn, those amazingly fast four-legged athletes provide a major draw to Ohio's county fairs, bringing revenue to our rural communities. OHHA membership has its privileges. Members reap the benefits of having a strong voice for shaping statewide policies, receive continuous industry education, and valuable information in OHHA newsletters and magazines. Check out OHHA.com to find out how the Ohio Harness Horsemen's Association is making great strides for you. That's OHHA.com.
Look at this house, Brad. Just the place for some songwriting inspiration. It could be a song about home insurance or auto insurance or a car-home bundle with Nationwide. Two songs in one. What would you call that, a crossover?
I think it's more of a mashup, Peyton.
Yeah, a mashup. Genius. Let's make a mashup.
Nationwide is proud to be the exclusive insurance provider for Ohio Farm Bureau. To find a local farm agent, visit farmagentfinder.com.
Savings compared to standalone price of each policy. Product availability varies by state agent and other factors. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company, Columbus, Ohio.
At Georgia Boot, we build our boots just like the people who wear them. Tough, dependable, and hardworking. You need a boot that you can count on. That's why Georgia Boot always uses rich, full-grain leathers and comfort insoles to maximize your all-day comfort. We've been building boots that way since 1937. You pick the best tools for the job. Why would your boots be any different? Georgia Boot is America's hardest working boot. Go to georgiaboot.com to see our latest promotions or to find a dealer near you.
We believe in food.
Grown in the fields of Ohio.
In clean air and water.
And in preserving farmland forever.
We believe in opportunities for the next generation.
For nearly 100 years,
Ohio Farm Bureau has been bringing people together.
Join us in the journey.
Together.
Together.
Together with farmers.
Visit togetherwithfarmers.org.
Have you heard about the Ohio Farm Bureau Energy Program? Eligible members are saving an average of 15% on their electric and natural gas bills. The program works through a network of suppliers to secure cost-saving pricing in competitive electric and natural gas regions. We've heard from members who've saved hundreds of dollars annually on their energy costs. Getting started is easy. Simply call the Energy Program customer service line, 800-830-3501, and our representative will assist you from there. 800-830-3501. You can also visit ofbf.org/savings to learn more.
Mr. Brown, come on now, Mr. Brown. Come on, Mr. Brown. Come on, Mr. Brown.
It was a real pleasure having Senator Brown in the studio with us and Adam Sharp of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. A really tight schedule, so the senator was off to his next major meeting of some sort, probably solving some world or national problem. So we're stuck with a couple of Farm Bureau folks. Actually, we're very happy to have in the room with us Yvonne Lasisco, who is our Vice President, Public Policy, and Jack Irvin, our Senior Director of State and National Policy for the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation. Pretty cool, isn't it, Yvonne, that a U.S. Senator will take time out of a busy schedule to come in and talk with Farm Bureau members and Town Hall Ohio listeners?
It is very cool. And I think people really don't understand just the power of every individual member of our organization. It's the fact that we are grassroots strong. It's the fact that when we get to go to D.C. and we have the honor of representing farmers when we go there and we get to be their voice, the only reason we get to be their voice is because both of our senators and all of our representatives fully understand how many members we have back here in Ohio. And that's the message we're delivering. It's not any individual message of a staff or a Farm Bureau. It's the message of our membership. leadership and the strength of those people having relationships back here in Ohio, going to their events, going to their open houses and their town halls, and being engaged, inviting them out to their farms for tours and making sure they understand the importance of agriculture for Ohio.
And it's not just numbers, but I think our lawmakers respect the process. Jack, for folks who aren't members of Farm Bureau right now, walk us through how the seed of an idea at a county Farm Bureau meeting in Northwest or Southeast Ohio might end up being an issue that the American Farm Bureau tackles.
As Yvonne touched on, we are such a grassroots organization, and it's amazing to watch. One of my first years here working, I remember getting with some of our farmer leaders from Eastern Ohio, and unfortunately in that area, opioid issues is a big challenge. And they brought up some policy related to pain management and some of the accreditations for hospitals and how that impacts. I don't need to get in all the weeds, but long story short, that policy was started at the county level, was passed from a county Farm Bureau, made it into Ohio's Farm Bureau, and then worked all the way up through the American Farm Bureau process. And it is now part of American Farm Bureau policy book that they use to advocate with legislators like Sherrod Brown.
So Yvonne pointed out that we have this massive grassroots level of activity, and Jack, you did too. Give folks an idea, though, about what your job is like in representing Ohio farmers in Washington, D.C. You're probably familiar with the flight schedules between Columbus and the Capitol.
You know, just trying to take those policies that, again, come from the county level, whether we're talking trade, farm bill, infrastructure, you know, all the issues that you've discussed here today, and just trying to put some of the details together of highlighting for our legislative leaders, their staff, what are those impacts to Ohio? What does that impact mean nationally? And then helping, educate our members and help them tell their story as well. So it's not only us advocating on their behalf, but collectively as the kind of the Farm Bureau family coming together and advocating together. And, keeping everyone relatively on the same message of consistency so they're hearing a lot of the same things and have a good understanding of the challenges and opportunities that are going on out there.
Never fails to amaze me, Yvonne, that when we reach out to our members and we say, we need you to come to Columbus to talk about X, or sometimes we need you to get on an airplane and go with Jack to Washington to talk about X, they do it. They embrace it. And they tackle the challenge.
I think sometimes it really is a challenge that people don't understand. I mean, the whole point of Farm Bureau is the fact that I love agriculture, but being on the farm and being a production agriculture wasn't my path. My path is being a talker. Hello, I'm here on the radio with you. I mean, my role in agriculture is to deliver that message. So when we say to a farmer, I'm asking you to get out of your comfort zone, to leave your farm, you know, to come down here, to talk to people who you don't know, and to deliver the message of what's happening there, that is a huge lift. That's a huge request to say to them, come and do something I know is probably not your comfort. And they do it anyhow because they know the absolute importance of delivering their personal message. Jack and I can give the really large picture statistics. We can talk about the economics in Ohio. We can talk about what those numbers mean. But then the person beside me, that farmer who's in the room with me, says, and here's what it means to me on my farm. It makes all the difference because it just brought it completely home. And I think our members recognize that, they understand it, and so they're willing to take that leap and trust Jack and I when we ask them to come down here and do it and to put themselves out there in potentially an uncomfortable position, but every time they hit home runs.
Farm Bureau's Yvonne LeCisco and Jack Irvin. I'm Joe Cornelli. Thanks for joining us this week on Town Hall Ohio.
Town Hall Ohio is a project of the Ohio Farm Bureau Federation and is brought to you with the support of Nationwide. Nationwide is on your side. Join us again next week for Town Hall Ohio.